If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
5 seconds to Sharp, top of the key, lost the dribble, he's got to pick it up, it's scooped up by Condon, Condon secures it, and Florida found a way, from 12 down to the school's third national championship in men's basketball, 65-63, the final, the Florida Gators are the national champions once again.
Good morning, DFW. That is Westwood One with the call on a crazy, crazy finish in the NCAA tournament and the final game, the natty for March Madness as Florida wins and they beat Houston 65-63. I hate to even say they won. I hate to even say that. You can't trail for 39 minutes. Doesn't sit right with my pH balance of life. I don't need the final score to know Houston was the better team.
Houston was better yesterday, and they
this is what I hate. I rooted for Florida. I bet on Florida, but I hate this because the better team didn't win, and that throws me off. My whole week is now ruined.
Yeah, this was an instance of Houston playing better. This was Houston had actually managed to do yesterday what you thought was going to be pretty difficult, which is they forced Florida to play their game. Like they were able to slow them down. Boy, Vegas is good.
Yeah, they are.
What was a point and a half and then 140 on the over-under?
It finally settled at one.
Did it settle at one?
So last night, right before the game, I waited until about 5 minutes before tip-off, and I just took Florida money line because it was at one. So there's no point, right? I just hit the money line. Same. The juice was the same. Essentially the same. It was 105 to 110. So I was like, all right, I'll just lay the extra juice. And I was like, I'll just take the money line because what if they win by one? Then you push. So I was in a tough spot either way because, you know, the whole game I was losing. But the over-under was at 140, and this thing ended at, what, 128? So you know, they were kind of off there, but they didn't expect Walter Clayton to do nothing. They did a great job on him throughout the entire game.
Well,
until the very end.
We think about it. Yeah, that's low. They were off by 12, but that's a couple made extra baskets. So in general, I think they were right around what the pace of the game was going to be and how this was going to end up. But I mean, man, I do feel bad for Houston.
And I feel bad for Kelvin, man.
This is where, gosh, look at this. The Florida second half deficits, 12 to Houston, 9 to Auburn, 10 to Texas Tech. I think they should have beat Auburn. Like them winning that game against Auburn, I think that's fair. There were three games in this run that Florida should have lost.
They should have lost UConn. They should have lost to Tech. They should have lost those.
Houston, Tech, UConn, they should have lost those games. And I don't know the last time we watched a tournament where it's like, man, this is one of the best teams in the tournament, and yet we walk away from it going like, they shouldn't have won. You picked them from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And you're going, they shouldn't have won. There were several stops along the way where they should. Dan Hurley was right. I hope they don't do you like that too, Houston.
Well, I mean, the refs were awful the second half. They completely stopped that game down. They had four first half fouls, and what did they call in the second half? 30.
It was
26 or 30 in the second half. It was an insane number. Like just the worst officiated game, and I don't think they were on anybody's side. I don't think they were like bad in either way. But it was just, you can't stop the flow of the game like that. Houston forgot how to play offense down the stretch.
Which has happened a couple times.
It's happened. But how do you not get a shot off?
Yeah. That's the biggest problem. Because there was, how much time was left on the clock when they inbounded?
Oh, they just started too late. There was like 26 seconds left.
Yeah.
They were like, it was down to 10, 12 seconds. They're like, guys, you got to go here, man. You got to go.
It's just, it's disappointing for them. Because they were just, Houston was so much better, I felt like, throughout this game. I thought Houston was better throughout the tournament. Houston played better pretty much consistently. When you look at the run, who had a better, more consistent, championship-worthy run to the title? It was Houston.
Yeah, I mean, they played well against, I mean, the closest game they had was Purdue.
The Duke game.
Well, I mean, get to the Final Four.
Sure, yeah.
Was the Purdue game, and they beat Tennessee pretty good. They beat Gonzaga.
Handled Gonzaga. They were up 12, basically, the whole game.
And, you know, like they played a really solid tournament. And look, I mean, Florida played great when it mattered in the tournament. They kind of sleptwalked through a lot of it. But you've got to feel disgusted this morning. If you are a Houston fan, you got to feel disgusted. If you bet on Houston, you've got to feel disgusted today.
You know who's really at fault for this, though?
Peyton Russell?
No. We will get to Peyton here in just a second. Sean.
What?
So, yesterday I tweeted.
Oh, did he do a game blouses tweet?
No. But I tweeted, heading for the absolute best outcome. Peyton and RJ both have to host, and I ultimately win the bracket. And I put that up there. So, technically, you could say that I jinxed it.
Yeah.
But it literally did not start to turn in the game until Sean retweeted it.
Oh,
and when Sean retweeted it, Sean came back around and was trying to say, you shinxed it. And it's like, no, you shinxed it, Sean. You retweeted it. And that's what caused the issue. But now we are set up for the Peyton Russell solo hosting.
Here we go, baby.
I cannot believe this ended up being the final result.
That
if you would have asked me,
Chalky McChalkerson over here.
Exactly. If you would have asked me 2 weeks ago if Peyton Russell was going to be the one who ended up losing this tournament, I would have said, probably not. Not going to happen. But he trusted too much in a few different things. One, he trusted too much in Rick Pitino and his choking ass with St. John's.
Mm.
And he trusted too much in Auburn being better than Florida. And that was a bad call. But other than that, Peyton, have you figured out how you're going to approach things, what you want to do yet? Is it going to be very sports heavy? Is it going to be bit heavy? Is it going to be sports with a bit twist? What are you going to do?
It's going to be whatever I think about. I'll have about a week to brainstorm things. I thought about just reading our group text for 2 segments straight.
Well, you got to get Choppy's approval, and you got to have a member of the notary public, and you got to have a judge there.
Before six, so, you know, we'll be fine.
That's true.
Yeah.
Safe harbor. I think I have to make it funny. You know, I can come in here and try and be sportsy and stuff. Plus, I mean, my luck, I'd steal the 6 o'clock, you know, segment, and then Sean would kill me.
Well,
you know, because I'd spoil everything, or I'd just go through his run sheet or something.
Let us know on the fan text, 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. Because Peyton lost, next week he will have to host one day from 5:30 to 6. It'll be like a throwback day. Let us know what you want from Peyton. Do you want to hear sports Peyton, like his sports takes, or do you want him to do bits, or how do you want this to play out? Because Peyton's all ears. He's going to have to talk for, what did we figure it ended up being? You could, 19 minutes is the bare minimum you'll have to talk for?
Yeah, if I use all 2 minutes of audio, I don't know. It's like, because, like, I guess I could use audio, and I probably will use some, but I don't know. I don't know if I'll go up to the 2 minutes. But yeah, if I use the 2 minutes of audio, then you have commercial breaks. You know, yeah, you're about around 20 minutes total of talk time.
Okay, I think you can handle it. I think it'll be good. I'm excited for it. I'm excited to play it back like a McCarthy interview and then get Kevin Hagelin's scorn. But overall, this is a good outcome, I think.
Yeah, I still feel like I'm so weird this morning. I know that Peyton, and I'm a little disappointed. I put all this legwork in.
Mm-hmm.
I had all this legwork. I was getting ready for my segment that I was going to do, my 2 segments. I still might do it.
You can still do it within the show.
I still might do it within the confines of the show, Peyton. So I'll work harder with you.
Oh.
I'll work harder with you.
Look at that.
I mean, look, all of Bobby's chat GPT, outcomes of RJ, you know, only has one outcome he can win, and it actually hits. So I'm blown away, but, you know, it was a fun tournament.
Do you reflect back on anything you did with your bracket that you're just like, shouldn't have done that? Like should you have not been so chalky?
Well, my first round, I was really good. I picked a lot of the 10-7 upsets. Mm. I picked all 6 over 11.
Of the 10s? You mean the one?
No, there were two. Arkansas and New Mexico.
Mexico.
I got both those right. I had BYU on the Sweet 16. Like, a lot of those picks were genius.
Yeah, you did.
I had to pick all ones to go to the Final Four.
You did. You picked all ones and all ones and all twos.
No, I did not. I did not pick all ones.
You picked all ones to the Final Four. That's what you know. What you did was you picked all ones and twos to the Elite Eight.
That's what
it
was.
And I got one wrong out of that. Like, that was
a thing. That was
your
problem.
I got one wrong.
Yeah, because it was chalk.
Yeah, that's just okay. You know.
But you know what? God came around with that big old chalk eraser on your blackboard,
yes,
and he wiped that ass off.
Yes,
I'll tell you what also got in the way here was, as we actually talked about the game that occurred, you know, Walter Clayton ends up, you know, being the
player,
the main star of what, you know, Florida's run was. But last night, Alex Condon was great.
He's very good. He had about 6 travels.
Somebody
needs to teach him the travel rule.
Somebody needs to teach the officials the travel rule.
Oh, you thought they were...
No, I mean, there were several times where I thought he traveled more.
They had issues throughout the game.
They just let stuff slide.
Yeah, the officials, I didn't think, were very good. Again, they completely ruined the flow of the game in the second half.
But want to talk about defensively, the way he played, especially down the stretch, he was great.
He was very good. He was very, very good. You know, Clayton made a couple of plays in the stretch like he had. He finally got the... I mean, he didn't take a shot attempt for about 16 straight minutes. Mm-hmm. They completely neutralized him. Their size was just too much for him. But, I mean, you'll never get this close, man. Kelvin Sampson will never get this close to a title without winning one again. And this may be it. Like, this was his best chance.
Is he the one you feel the worst for in all of this? Is just
Kelvin Sampson? I hate to say, I don't care about the players. They're kids. They're 20 years old. I mean, you know, like they have their whole life ahead. He's been in college basketball. He's been a great in college basketball for 40 years. You know, like no, it's not like I don't care about the players. It's just like, you know, a lot of these guys are going to go to the NBA or going to go play overseas, or they'll come back to college. Like, I feel bad for them, but like Kelvin Sampson, I don't know that you barely know their names. Unless you follow college basketball, you don't know their names. So it's like, how can I feel bad for somebody I have no connection to? I got a connection to Kelvin Sampson. I've watched Kelvin Sampson teams for 25 years. It was at Oklahoma, when he was at Indiana, when he went to, he was always insistent in the NBA. I mean, the guy was at Houston. He's been an all-time great coach. He is, you know, of the current generation of coaches that you know, I've seen in the, you know, 40 years I've been watching this. I mean, he's not on the Coach K level or the Dean Smith or the, you know, on that level.
Yeah,
Roy Williams.
Who would you say he is?
Well, I mean, look, I know Bill Self's got rings. I actually like Kelvin Sampson as much as Bill Self. But I mean, like, there's a ton of coaches out there that don't have championships that are really, really good coaches.
I'm trying to think of a...
Like, he's going to be Rick Barnes in that same conversation. Although Barnes never went to a championship. Went to a Final Four.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, a college football parallel that we could... You know who he might be? Is he Brian Kelly? Like, he's more likable than Brian Kelly.
I think
Kelly.
He's better than Brian
Kelly.
Is
he college basketball Brian Kelly?
I think he's better than Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly's a pretty good coach.
Brian Kelly is a pretty good coach.
He's an awful person.
Yeah, I think
he's a pretty good
coach. I think he's better than Brian Kelly. I don't know. I don't know who he is. That's a good question. Like, who would he compare best to? But he's an all-time great. That's all I know. The guy wins everywhere he goes.
I feel most bad for Hakeem. That's who I feel bad for. No, I, honestly.
Because Houston was a nothing program. Literally.
Yes.
For him to do that at Houston, which has a lot of students but no support, other than Tillman, they got no support down there.
I didn't think I'd say it. You know, we don't like Houston sports very much. But see, as we've talked about, UH is different to me than the Astros or the Rockets, or even back in the day, the Oilers or whatever. This is, I was rooting for UH. I was, I was hopeful for them, and I do feel bad for the UH fans, and feel bad for Reggie Atatula this morning.
Here you go, Mark Few, Bruce Pearl,
okay,
Bob Huggins.
He's the best.
Barnes. I mean,
those are the kind of names that he's along with.
Yeah, like those are the four or five names who guys are just surefire Hall of Famers that just don't have a title.
Rick Majerus.
Rick Majerus. Good one. So there you go. Florida wins, and Peyton is going to be in here at 5:30 in the morning one day next week. The Rangers have got to start helping out their pitchers with the bats. Next on The Fan.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find The Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Urbino, leg lift in the pitch, and Happ slices one through the left side into left field to base hit. One run scores, Armstrong around 30 scores, and it's a two-run single on an inside-out swing from Ian Happ to give the Cubs a 5-0 lead.
Oh, wow, that is Jared Sandler with the call.
Jinx.
Jinx.
He absolutely is the jinx.
Yes, he is. That was an abysmal offensive performance by the Rangers as they lose 7-0 to the Chicago Cubs, really doing nothing to help Nate Eovaldi, who made it 4 2/3, allowing the three runs. This game was over before they even took the field. That was a game of mental fortitude they did not have the cold weather. That cold weather was in their heads, man.
Yeah, and this is a case of, you remember yesterday, we were just playing it during snacks. During yesterday, we had the segment about fear or fear not.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is the nature of baseball sometimes, that you go with the wind, the changes in the wind and everything else. I'm changing my answer to fear not on the Rangers offense. Holy cow. Not really. They're still hitting the ball really hard. It's not landing where it needs to, but guys, they got to be able to score. They got to be able to get to find green grass more consistently than they are.
You thought they were hitting the ball hard yesterday?
They were. Higashioka, if you look at the way that they were hitting the ball, they had like five of the top seven exit velocities yesterday in the game.
The entire game?
They were hitting the ball harder than the Cubs were generally. I mean, the top exit velocities yesterday, Jake Berger, Kyle Tucker, Higashioka, Bush, Tucker, Garcia. So, I mean, they were hitting it. It's not working out for them yet. They're not finding a lot of these. There's a lot of hard hit outs for them right now.
Yeah, that'll turn. Those hard hit outs generally do turn. Soft, weakly hit singles, doubles, whatever. You don't usually have weakly hit doubles, but you get the point.
Mm-hmm.
They generally become outs, and hard hit outs generally become hits. So that will change. But man, professional athletes can't wear a hoodie under your jersey. you can't do that, man. That's some D3-ish right there. Let the D3 football kid who's a molecular biology major do that. You can't, a professional athlete, wear a hoodie under your jersey.
It's not acceptable.
Like Leody was doing. You can't do that. When you got everybody in a shiesty, I mean, that game's over. That game's over before the thing starts.
This is their offense right now is just, they're not going to win many games playing that way. And I know they have to this point, so I know somebody's going to jump in on the fan text and say, what do you mean they're not going to win many games? They had the best record in the AL yesterday. Yes, and that's great, and it's largely due to pitching, but that's not sustainable. Like, it's not sustainable to hit like that and still be, an 80% winning ball club. That's not going to happen. This is something they got to figure out. And they will.
Well,
being
an 80% winning ball club is sustainable anyway.
Right, right. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
In general, like it's something that they're going to figure out. It's something that these will start falling for them. But yeah, right now it's concerning to look down. Right now, let's go through the rankings across Major League Baseball. Chop, would you like to do that?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. Batting average out of 30 teams, where do the Rangers rank?
At best, 28th. At worst, 30th.
30th.
Oh, that's good.
What do you think their batting average is?
174.
184. They're better than you thought.
Wow.
On base percentage, where do they rank?
29th.
They rank 30th.
Oh, is that good?
Nope. Like 30th. What do you think their on-base percentage is?
215.
257. Slugging.
29th.
26th.
Hey!
Up a little bit. 323.
Okay.
On that one.
Wait, so their team OPS is 570?
Their team OPS is, it's 570. In fact, let me look here. It's actually 580. So they are third worst in baseball in OPS. And just behind them, it's the Houston Astros at 29, and it is the bottom of the barrel Atlanta Braves at 30th.
Hey, but the Braves won a game, though.
They did, but so, you look at that. Houston below 500 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta way below 500 right now. That's generally what you're going to see with a team that hits like that.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. That's true. They have not hit the ball well. They have not, you know, they've hit them hard at times, but they have not hit the ball well at all.
Look, I mean, there are a lot of things here that are positive for the Rangers offensively, or positive indicators that say they're likely going to be able to turn some things around. So when you look at strikeout rate on offense, the amount, like, they're making contact. Strikeout rate, they're one of the lowest. Like, their rate of striking out is one of the lowest in Major League Baseball. So they're making contact. They're showing decent plate patience in at a lot of different points. They have been able to run into some baseballs. Wyatt Langford's got a few home runs so far. We've seen the power, you know, with the way Adolis is swinging the bat. Heim has a couple home runs. So there's some positive indicators, but, man, this is not going to win you a lot of ball games if you keep hitting the way you have lately.
Shout out to our Chicago Tolos. You can go to the game today. You can also hear it right here on 105 through the Fan 640, but you can go to the game today for $3. That is the get in the door price at Wrigley Field today. $3 for the game.
Is that, why is that so cheap?
The temperature probably.
Probably that just feels it? Like it's 20 degrees right now.
It's Chicago.
With a high of 39 today. That's probably, I would assume that's why. It's so cold there, the UV index is a zero.
So what's your expectation today? You expect more of the same? Cold weather?
Cold weather. Patrick Corbin's pitching. Spot start for Leiter, who's on the injured list. The blister. I would not expect an offensive barrage. The weather's not going to be conducive for it. Right? It's just not. Yeah. Now, maybe with a 1 o'clock game tomorrow, they might, or the day game, where it's sunny out still. But you get into the nights. I don't know. I would assume another game where the Rangers' bats just don't come alive.
The only teams that have scored fewer runs than the Rangers, you've got the Rockies, who have played two fewer games and have three fewer runs. The Astros, who have played one fewer game, have three fewer runs. The Braves, who are just awful. Braves, 9 games this year, Chop. The Braves have scored 24 runs, which
that's
is
not even 3 a game.
They've only allowed 36. They're pitching pretty well.
In the 4 road games the Rangers have played, they've scored 5 runs.
That's just bad.
And they're 2-2. They're two and two
in those
road
games.
They scored 5 runs. That's really tough. Like, they just don't hit away from home. But they lost 14-3 to Cincy. And they won 1-0, 1-0, and lost 7-0 to the Cubs. So they're back at it today, 640 right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Did you know that game where they got beat down by the Reds, 14-3?
Uh-huh.
That is by far their best offensive showing on the road this year.
Yeah, it is.
Five hits, 3 runs.
Yeah.
The other games, it was 1 run, 4 hits, 1 run, 3 hits, 0 runs, 3 hits. That's been their output on the road so far.
It's been tough sledding. It has. I mean, they'll figure it out. You hope they better. They don't really have a choice not to figure it out. Like, that's the whole thing. They don't really have a choice, but they are up to in the MLB power rankings despite the loss. They are up to number 3.
Hey, I'll take it.
They are up to number 3 in the CBS rankings. It's Dodgers aren't even number 1. The Dodgers have lost 3 of 4. They started 8-0 and they've lost 3 of 4. But the Phillies are up there at number 1. But the Rangers is one of the main reasons I love the Rangers so much heading into the season. The expected offense to be among the best in baseball. It hasn't been very good at all, but they're still 8-2. What does that mean? That means watch out. That's fair.
Yeah,
That's fair.
That's exactly what it means. By the way, really quickly, I want to touch on this because we like to talk about these different peripherals and different things like that. I mentioned Higashioka. Do you know what his average exit velocity is this year at the plate?
I don't know. 91.
94, which is really up high.
That's
and
really
not
good.
Just that, he's in the top. He's in the 83rd percentile on framing rate.
Oh, he's a really good player.
So, I mean, if you're talking about like overall, he's been good so far.
He's a really good player. Pitchers like throwing to him. He's a decent hitter. He's not going to be a 30 home run guy, but he is. I mean, he is good for, you know, a dozen or so home runs. I mean, I like him a lot. I've always liked him.
Yesterday,
I don't like the Dawson nickname for him.
I love the Dawson nickname for him. Sean didn't like it, but I liked it.
I like, hey, Higgy, man. It just makes sense.
I know.
And you're changing the pronunciation of the middle of his name.
I mean, but it's a funnier name. Yeah. It's a funnier nickname. I like it.
What's the name?
Dawson nicknamed him because of the middle of his name, Higashioka. Dawson's nicknamed him Gash. He likes that nickname, and he thinks he's just smashing the ball and stuff. So
yeah, that's just, what you know, you're just changing the spell, the pronunciation of his name.
Yeah,
so it's not even his name. Call him Gosh.
Yesterday, this was Higashioka.
Good Gosh.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Why does nobody ask me? I should just come up with everything.
That's pretty good.
Gosh.
I did yesterday when he was at the plate, Higashioka. His exit velocity, 97, 102, 103. So he's hitting the ball hard.
I mean, it's the only way not to make your hand sting. Hit on the barrel. That's it. That's the only way not to make the hand sting.
It's a torpedo bat, man.
You could use that. We have players of they have made their voices heard on the torpedo bats.
In a positive way.
It is in a positive way. They do. We don't have time to get into it now, but they do like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do genuinely like them. But like the one thing that really stood out, and we'll kind of go more in depth on this a little bit later, but the idea that we have never heard of them before this year, but they all had.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that stood out is like, this is not a new technology. This has been around for, and we said that the day after, it's been around since 04. Somebody invented this like 04. They've been around with this. It's just no one has ever used it.
Yeah, this now definitely.
Although they said Lindor used it last year and Giancarlo Stanton used it last year.
Manipulating the sweet spot, Manfred said, players have been doing for a while. I think the targeted, like, scientific research that says here's where everybody's torpedo bat should be shifted. I think that's what's new is the team-wide research to, hey, each guy, you're tailored here, and doing all that. That's new. That's new.
But also the fact that it's got a name to it. It's a funny name. It's cool. Torpedo bat.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, if you didn't have a name to it, if you just said, oh, it's just a barrel shifted bat. That's not good. You got to have a name to it.
It's got to have something that's catchy, catches on. And torpedo bat does it. I like it. I like using it in everyday conversation.
And look, and that's why I think, why is OPS caught on when, you know, ex-WOBA hasn't? Because it's easier to say and remember.
Yeah.
And explain. It's easier to explain.
It's also easier to just.
On base plus slugging. As opposed to some crazy formula. So ex-WOBA might be a better stat. No, it's not. But
WAR has caught on, for instance. And nobody knows really how to
the
calculate
formula,
WAR.
But you know, but it's easy to say. WAR.
Yeah.
WAR. What's it good for?
Exactly. That's absolutely
it.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. That's it. So like, it's about the name. It's all in the name, man. You got to be able to name these things. Trey Lance has a job.
What?
Yes. And don't try this new scam out there. You're going to go to jail. That's next on The Fan. My favorite segment of the week coming up in 1 hour. Ask
the payload?
Reddit. That's your favorite segment.
Not the payload.
You've claimed on this show.
I love it. I love the payload.
It's your favorite 640 segment.
It's my favorite 640 Thursday segment.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I believe you.
I think it's my favorite 640 Thursday. But no, the Ask Reddit is coming up at 740. Maybe you have a special guest for that one.
We do. Eric Chiafalo.
Oh, baby.
We've smoothed things over. Now, I've not smoothed things over with Zach. Zach and I are still not on good terms. We're not speaking. And so I've figured things out with Eric. And so we're good. So he's going to come here and, as a peace offering, take part and ask Reddit. But Zach, no. Zach's still done.
Yeah.
I'm not having it.
Okay.
Yep. Very good. Not about it.
All right. That's coming up 1 hour from now during the commercial-free expressway. But Trey Lance, Bobby, is back away from the unemployment line.
Yeah, weren't we thinking there for a little bit he was going to end up with the
Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Thought he was going up to, is it Saskatoon?
I thought for a little bit he was going to end up with the Frisco Rough Riders.
Regina. It's Regina.
Sorry, what was that?
Oh, man.
It's pronounced what?
Regina.
Oh, okay. I like that. I didn't know
that.
Did
you not know?
I know that. I'm messing with you. All right, Trey Lance is heading back. He is going back to Cali, as he is signing with the Los Angeles Chargers. It's a one-year deal for up to $6.2 million.
Seems high.
A $1 million salary, and if you play 30% of the snaps, it's $1 million. 40%, it's another million. Like, it's got to be that. Because there's no way anybody's saying, Trey Lance, you're worth $6 million. There's just no chance that that's the way that that's being set up. But, look, he avoided the CFL. He ends up with Jim Harbaugh and the Chargers. Good for him. Wish him nothing but the best, but...
Doesn't this make him vested, too?
I think it does, yeah. So, I mean, that's locked in now. But this is good for him. I'm happy he found somewhere to land. I just think we already have the answer on him. I think we know the type of player.
I feel bad for that. He's never played.
But there's a reason.
I know, but if you take all of his NFL snaps,
mm-hmm,
and all of his college snaps,
mm-hmm,
he has played. I mean, I bet you Quinn's played more than he has.
Oh yeah, that's for sure.
If you do college and NFL, I'll bet you Quinn played more snaps at Texas.
Yeah, let me look here. So he has. This may have changed. This probably did change last year once he got into that final game. But, I mean, you're talking about he had thrown, so far in his career, he's attempted 143 passes at the NFL level. And at North Dakota State, I think it was not a ton more than 318.
Yeah.
So we're talking about he's under 500 pass attempts since high school. In fact,
I think he needed to go to the CFL.
Yeah, but the only problem is once you get there, it's really hard to get back.
I know it is. But if you're a quarterback and you show you could throw, like, or go to the UFL. Go to the UFL then. You know, get some play. You got to get some snaps, dude. You can't just be sitting there. Now, you want to just collect the paycheck and sit the bench? Fine, go ahead. You know, you've carved out a nice living for yourself. Trey Lance is going to wind up making $30 million playing the NFL.
Gosh, in the last 7 years. The last 7 years, he has thrown like 450 passes.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, and he's going to wind up, I mean, he's going to make $30 million in the NFL or more. He'll never have to work another day in his life. But, dude, I mean, like, you've already made your money. Go, like, try to play. Go to the UFL. Get some snaps in.
The UFL is what makes the most sense, I think. But, you know, he probably doesn't want to walk away. He wants to hold on as long as he can. We saw him out there in training camp. That dude's never gonna play. Like, you saw him throw. He doesn't see the field at all.
No, his vision, his decision making, like his ability, his mechanics, you know, he's a big guy. You know, he throws the ball super easy. You love his, you can absolutely see why, like, if you just put him in a lab, like, that's the kind of guy you want. He can move. I mean, he does everything right except decide where to throw the ball.
Yeah, look, I mean, he's a great athlete. There's a lot to like. He did go third overall for a reason.
There's some Joe Milton, like, there's some Joe Milton issues there with the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's just he doesn't see. So we would watch him out there in training camp. He would be looking directly at a defender and then throw it in their chest. It's like, what are you seeing? Like, it's not even tunnel vision. It's like, it's a periscope. Like, I mean, you're talking about he's so tightly focused, he doesn't even see a defender directly in front of him. It's bizarre. But you know what could have saved all this? It's could have saved everybody if they would have just gone to draft 101, Chop. Because if they would have gone to draft 101, they would have been prepared. They would have heard Brian say how much he didn't like Trey Lance. And then they would have been all good to go. And it is our staple draft event with you, the Tolo. It's Draft 101 in our fan showroom, 4131 North Central Expressway in Dallas. This is going to be on April 17th. our Super Bowl winning scout, Brian Broaddus, Zach Wolchuk, myself. We're going to team up with DallasCowboys.com for a night of draft talk, debate, and questions. Not only that, dinner on us thanks to Whataburger, plus plenty of giveaways, completely free. And we can't wait to see you for Draft 101 on your home of the Cowboys, 105 through the Fan. No sign up required either. Just show up here to the station on April 17th. And we'll be here to hang out with you and look forward to a good time at Draft 101. All right, Trey Lance has a job, Chop, but it looks like a middle school principal doesn't or may not.
A Florida middle school principal got arrested for something that a middle schooler would absolutely do. So this is at a Walmart. North, Bach Academy North principal Gregory Lewis was at a Winter Haven Walmart. Asset protection. We used to call them loss prevention. I guess they're called asset protection now. This is like the eye in the sky. The eye in the sky comes out and stops him. And he was skip scanning at the self-checkout.
This is such a lame move.
So he had been caught placing a bag of disposable foam plates between more expensive items to steal them and only pay for the cheaper items. He tried to steal a large pack of light bulbs, bacon, and frozen butterfly shrimp, totaling just under $40, according to the arrest affidavit by the outlet. He's a middle school principal. His friends told him about this shoplifting tactic that he wanted to try out for himself. What a moron.
Sounds like a life hack.
A life hack. Like, I wonder, how often do people, like, at the self-checkout, not check everything out? I mean, there's a camera. Literally, you're looking at the screen. You go to like a CVS or a Walgreens and you go to the self-checkout, the camera, you're looking at your self-scan.
Yeah.
How dumb do you have to be?
I forgot bananas one time in college because they're already bagged up. And so I was, you know, bagging stuff, putting it in my cart, and I saw bananas bagged up and I thought, oh, I already scanned those. And I like was looking at my receipt when I got back to my apartment and I was like, why aren't the bananas on there? And I had walked out with the bananas. To this day, I feel guilty about it.
See, you're a good guy.
But you're now, should I have gone back and paid for it? Maybe, but, you know, it was raining. I didn't want to, you know.
Yeah, you probably should have.
Once you're out, I mean, you know, you probably should have, but.
But I feel bad. I admit it.
Did you enjoy the bananas at least?
Oh, yeah, I did.
No, man, what
it was a big pack of bananas, too. It was probably 5 or 6.
Yeah, I walked out with, underneath the cart, you put some, a case of water under there.
Mm-hmm. And I just forgot about it.
I went back in. I was like, man, I forgot to pay for this.
I don't know if I've ever.
And they said this happens like every day.
So I don't like taking the self-checkout. If the regular checkout line is open, I'm taking that.
Look at you. Look at you. Helping the economy. Keeping jobs.
It's just I don't want to do it myself. Like it's a pain. Like,
I love it. I get that gun scanner.
No. And,
you
and
get
look,
wild with that thing.
Oh, baby. I love it. I'm so mad Costco got rid of the gun scanner.
I think it's gotten better. But I don't use it so long that it doesn't matter. The whole thing of just you used to scan the item and then you'd put it in the bag. And then if you didn't put it in the bag just fast enough or it wasn't heavy enough, then it'd go,
please place the item in the tray area.
Wait for an associate. And then somebody had to come over and unlock it. And then it's like, okay, all right, well, now that this bag is full, I have to take it off and move it to the side. And as soon as you lift it up and took it to the side, please return to the bag in there. It's like, okay, I'm not doing this. This is a pain in the ass.
The only time I don't do that, I love the self-checkout. The only time I don't do it is if I have alcohol. Because then you got to get somebody to scan you in.
Or, well, I assume you don't use the things that come in the little box, maybe made of plastic. I assume you don't use many of those. You don't strike me as a guy who buys those for special time with the lady.
Oh.
Because that'll...
You gotta use...
No, I'm set. Well,
You gotta get somebody to scan those in for you.
A lot of times when you scan them, then they'll say, "Please wait for an associate."
You have to be a certain age to buy those.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, or at least stores enforce it.
18.
The best is that
18.
Some stores lock them up, like behind glass.
I knew that. That's embarrassing. That's embarrassing.
Kristen,
I hate that.
Kristen went one time to the store and she saw them locked up and she just left. She was going to get some. She's like, I got to find a shady gas station to buy these.
That's embarrassing.
I'm not doing this. No. Well, you know what? That got that middle school principal. Which, by the way, did he get in trouble? Did he keep his job?
Yeah, he got arrested.
But do we know if he kept his job or does it say?
I did not see. This happened this weekend. Well, just happened.
Here's some bad news for an English woman who was flying on Ryanair And she had an issue with skip scanning of sorts. She got a can of Pringles while she was flying recently. And when she showed up to the airport, she was promptly arrested by police officers. She had three officers waiting there for her. Anne-Marie Murray ordered Pringles, water, and a Coke on a flight from Tenerife to Bristol on March 20th.
Hang on. I just found an update on this. He has been fired for gross misconduct. And now an update. He will not receive his retirement pay.
Oh, man.
Which is estimated about $133,000.
That sucks.
That is awful.
All in the name of some butterfly shrimp.
What a dope.
Anne-Marie Murray ordered Pringles, water, and a Coke on a flight from Tenerife to Bristol on March 28th. The bill came out to €7. She didn't have cash on her, and she was unable to pay when the in-flight card machine would not accept payment. So it wasn't working. It wasn't accepting the payment.
Right.
But she had eaten everything. So when the flight landed, because she'd consumed it, there were three police officers waiting for her and put her in the back of their van in cuffs to question her for stealing.
How did she steal? She gave her the card.
Because she ate them. She shouldn't have eaten them, I guess, is the issue. But the airline crew called ahead for police assistance after the passenger became disruptive. But she said, I wasn't disruptive. I just told him, what do you want me to do? Like, she was basically just like, what do you want me to do? It's not working. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
How many times have they, if you order a drink on a flight, they give you the drink and they come back to your seat to collect the payment.
Right.
They don't do it all right. I've had it where sometimes they do it right there. Sometimes they come back. It depends on how busy they are.
How bad, how broke is Ryanair that they're like, we got to.
I think they're the ones that wanted to get rid of bathrooms or charge you for bathrooms.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
They're like the super low cost European carrier. They put Spirit to shame.
That's ridiculous. If she had, Pringles, a Coke, and then what was it, a water? Yeah, Pringles, a Coke, and water for €7. I don't think that sounds too bad.
That's not crazy expensive.
Like, yeah, if you want to talk about €7 is $7.66. If I pay for Pringles, a soda, and a bottle of water on an American flight for $7.66, that's not bad. So they should quit whining. Like, that's not that big a deal. Yeah. Just relax. All right.
Things are cheaper.
Take it easy.
Cheaper on Ryanair. Okay. Sean and RJ here, 105.3 The Fan, 6 a.m. Club. Shout out to you. Was this the chalkiest tournament ever? Or the chokiest? College Kegger next.